Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
So Tracy, everybody worries about stuff. It's a normal, natural thing. What I'm going to ask you is, what are you worried about right now? You don't have to answer that right this second. I assume you're worried that your laptop's not going to turn on because you don't know where
the
power button
just
is.
Let me tell the story, why don't you?
Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is the Journey to There radio show, and you are hanging out with us at the intersection between personal and business growth. We've got a website that's loaded with past episodes and great information. JourneyToThere.com, and you can also listen to the show on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Empower Radio, as well as other channels. So I will admit it, I worry a lot. You know I do. And from thinking...
you worry a lot. That might be the
understatement of the century, yes.
Of the century.
from thinking that I'm not going to be able to juggle 30 hours worth of responsibilities into a 24-hour day, to worrying, seriously, if I may have left the toaster oven on when I cooked my frozen organic blueberry waffles this morning.
So. You know those things could not possibly be really organic. I would worry more about that.
Hey, the box says organic.
It says it on the internet. It must be true.
From the look of the show notes that you gave me, I have a feeling you're going to tell me that a bunch of the stuff that I worry about, that our listeners worry about, is a big old waste of time.
You know, that's one way of looking at it. You know, I like to tell you about my topics, right?
Of course you do.
And they're always good stories. So I have a confession to make to you, Russ, that I wasn't planning on admitting, but since the topic is worrying for nothing, I feel like I ought to go ahead and come clean. So I decided I wanted to do this topic, and I started doing my research, and everything was great, and I have so many fun things to talk about on the show, like the evolution of anxiety and why we worry and what we can do about it. I mean, lots of great stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so, as you know, we were supposed to record 2 days ago.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you got a text message.
Frantic
text. Can't record today. Big reason. Can't talk about it. Well, here's my confession.
I'm ready.
The night before we were supposed to record, I had two things happen. One, as you so pleasantly referenced, my laptop would not turn on, and I mean it wouldn't turn on.
And of course, the first thing I text back to it, did you push the power button?
Yes, you did. And thank you for being the warrior of concern.
Wait, did you say warrior or worrier?
You decide. So then, at the same time, I have forgotten that I had to go and fast, first of all, which is no fun for anybody.
Oh, you had to have some lab work done.
I had to have some lab work, which is just standard, ordinary stuff. I'm not sick. Nothing's wrong with me. Don't worry about
good.
It.
Good. Knock on wood.
But my insurance changed. Like, the whole world is having issues with
we won't. Me. That's another episode.
I'm not unique, but do I worry about it? Yes. And so... all of a sudden, I had the aha that I had to go get my first set of labs done with my new insurance. And long story short, I have had this particular company before, did not like them. That's why I had the one I liked, but they don't offer it anymore. So now I'm back to the ones I didn't like. Do you follow all that?
I do.
Well, they make you provide a charge card for the quote-unquote difference that your insurance doesn't cover.
That may not cover. Yes, I've been
okay,
there.
Okay, so that happened to me once before to the tune of $3,000, and then it
oh
happened
my gosh.
To me another time to the tune of $1,500, and both times it took me months. I mean, like, year and a half of disputes and everything to get my money refunded. So I was stressed out. My laptop wouldn't turn on, and I knew we had to record the show. And I was stressed out and other reasons other than just recording the show, i.e. replacing one. And then two, that I was going to go get this labs done and that they were going to make me give them a credit card, and I didn't want to. So I canceled the show.
Yeah.
Here's where I have my confession. I canceled the recording of our show because I was so worried that I couldn't honestly talk about how not to worry.
She canceled a show about worrying because she was worrying
too much. Because
I was
worrying. And that is a true story.
And put my whole schedule into a frenzy.
A total frenzy. And so I appreciate you as always. And stop using that one finger you shouldn't use at me right now. Okay.
So you are going to tell us that you worried for nothing, correct?
That is true. I worried for nothing. And the funny part of the story, because I always like
there's nothing funny. Nothing
funny.
To shed
a little humor. So I take my Mac to the Mac store. And I'm basically, I hand it over to the guy, and I'm basically just kind of wandering around because I'm like, we're going to be here for a while looking at, you know, cases and stuff like that, doing girl stuff.
New laptops.
And I hear this, Mr. Forge. And I'm like, oh, gosh. I turn around. He takes this computer screen, if you can picture this, listeners. He takes the computer screen and pivots it towards me, and it is totally on, and it is totally working.
Did he just push the on button, the power button?
Yeah, he did. And it was like taking your car into the shop and telling them about this big rattle you've been having. And then they drive it for like 3 days and no rattle. So, yeah, that happened. And so then I go to get the labs done. And she asked me for the credit card.
Of course.
And I look at her and I go, is that optional? And she looks
What is she
going to
say? Of course she's going to say no.
She looks back at me and she says, well, technically, I can't make you give it to me. And I said, great, I'm not giving it to you. So.
Really?
And really? You,
and they went forward with the lab work.
And they did. And You know what? I will pay whatever it is that I owe legitimately.
Legitimately.
But I am not going to be charged for something by default that I don't know about, nor am I responsible for. So, hey, that was my worry, wart.
Okay, I'm gonna throw a wrench into things here because I know you're gonna get into that. A lot of what we worry about, we worry for nothing, and you did worry for nothing on both of these. But let's say you did need a new laptop or $500 worth of repair work, and let's say also after you found that out, you did need to put a credit card for a possible $3,000 charge or whatever the case. You were worrying for nothing, but are you still going to tell me that you worried for nothing because there's no sense of worrying about it?
Well, no, because that's actually what we're going to talk about today. So thank you for presenting that.
There we go.
Is we're going to talk about ways to manage our worrying. Gosh, this is going to be a tough one for me with the Southern accent. We are going to talk about how we can manage our tendency to worry. How about that?
I think so many people are going to be able to relate to this show.
Yes. So first, though, I did a little research and I thought it might be interesting because it was interesting to me, and I'm sure it'll be interesting to you because you'll just nod your head and say yes, even if it isn't. But the listeners, I am certain it's going to be interesting. And that is, I had to find out a little bit of the evolution around this state of anxiety and this tendency for human beings in general to worry, because I knew it wasn't an isolated case with me. I knew it wasn't an isolated gender issue.
Everybody worries.
Right. And actually, I would say that between the two of us, my husband and myself, I am definitely less of the one that worries. He worries all the time, all the time. And so we balance each other out pretty well. But that's why when I had to cancel the recording of that episode, it was pretty dramatic for me because I usually don't get caught up in what I call that hamster wheel where your brain just keeps going and going and you play through all these worst case scenarios. And by the time you actually show up to something, even the worst case scenario feels pretty good because you've just gone so way beyond that. So the anxiety history, I'm so excited to talk about this. Can't even get the words out. I really was excited to find out about the immediate return environment versus the delayed return environment. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. But I'm not going to do it in all of the psychoanalysis, behavioral psychology, stress management research studies that I read because everyone be falling asleep.
It'd be a tune out factor. We don't want people tuning out.
So I'm going to carve it into a story that I'm going to abbreviate from a writer named James Clear, who wrote an article called The Evolution of Anxiety, Why We Worry and What to Do About It. So this immediate return environment. So you're going to picture yourself. We're going to have to do like a visual picture and put yourself in this situation. So you're a giraffe. I know that's a stretch for you.
No pun intended.
So you're a giraffe and you're in the grasslands of an African like safari area.
Okay.
And the biggest difference between you and the humans is that every decision that you make provides an immediate benefit to your life. And what is described by that are things like the giraffe. When you're hungry, you walk over, you munch on a tree.
Correct.
When a storm rolls in, you find shelter, you ride it out.
Okay.
When you spot a lion stalking you,
you run
or an
like
insurance
hell.
Company, you run away. So on any given day, your choices as a giraffe are what's called decisions that affect your immediate return environment. Get it?
I got
it. So storm comes, get shelter, lion stalks you,
run.
Okay, so humans. So you're at the same safari in Africa with your fully decked out safari clothes and your binoculars. I added this part to the story. And you are just having this wonderful moment and you're riding through on your safari tour and you see that the giraffe is just gorgeous and you're having so much fun. And then you think to yourself, man, this safari is so fun. Wouldn't it be cool if I could work as a park ranger and see giraffes every single day? Ooh, speaking of work, is it time for a career change? Why am I even thinking about this? Well, if I'm thinking about this, does that mean that I'm really not doing the work that I was meant to do? Well, wait a minute. If I'm not doing the work that I was meant to do, does that mean I need to change jobs?
Oh, and wait, did I leave the toaster oven on with my blueberry waffles?
Blah, 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 blah. And unfortunately, because you're living in this delayed return environment, it leads to chronic stress and anxiety. And guess what else it leads to?
Worrying.
You're not having fun on the safari anymore.
Worrying, worrying, worrying.
Yes, your giraffe is just bouncing around having the time of its life. You're looking at the giraffe. That's so cool. And then all of a sudden, you're back in your cubicle thinking you need a life change. Come on.
So is that why when I'm at the zoo, the giraffes look at me like I'm a freaking moron?
Yes.
He's
but
looking
not,
at me
that's
like.
That's not the only reason.
I need a little drum da-dun-tsh.
Drum roll, ba-da-ba-ba. So this is all, this whole idea of immediate return environment and delayed return environment is all really well detailed in this book called The Mysteries of Human Behavior. And I'll put that in the show notes because I really do find the whole thing fascinating and I want to take some time to read more about it. But I'm also like so incredibly fascinated with behavioral modification and psychology anyway. But I love that they were able to translate it into the story that you can literally picture for yourself. And so that obviously takes us to the point of worrying for the sake of just worrying, right? I mean, there are legitimate concerns in life. There are things that you have to be aware of.
Agreed.
And you have to think through. But it's to what degree do you take it first? And it's to what degree do you let it control your life in the present, especially if what you're worrying about is something far out in advance?
So
now, my situation was a 24-hour worry cycle. But think about how many times you get wrapped up in things that, like, how am I going to pay for my children's college tuition? And they're 7.
Oh, you had to bring that up. Make me.
How am I going to lose weight for my sister's wedding and fit into my dress next October when it's January of the year before? You get what I'm saying with these things.
What I want to know is going back to the recent happening with your laptop. What do you know today that you didn't know the other day that could have prevented you from worrying as you did before you went to take the laptop in?
I have to honestly answer that question by restating it because I knew what to do. Like if your question is what it is with what did you find out? What I found out was I knew what I needed to do in the first place and I didn't do it. And what I needed to do in the first place is what I often tell other people to do and teach other people to do. But sometimes it's just harder to remember that for yourself when you're like in that moment. But my strategy for any level of worrying whatsoever, because you can feel it. I mean, you can feel it starts in your gut. It like creeps up into your chest.
It bleeds into my texts. I mean, I could look at these texts from you about the computer and and there's worry all over the text.
Oh, yeah, they're worry and please rescue me. You're the only person I know that knows as much about technology. And it's Sunday. I can't talk to anyone else.
Exactly. And I put you through some steps. Did you try this? Did you push the power button?
Okay, you just because you brought this up, and I cannot lie, now I have to make another confession that I was going to keep under the radar. and I was going to just dig this one so deep under, you were never going to find it out. But here we go.
I can't wait.
So in your text, you suggested that I use a different power outlet.
Yes, I'm looking at it now.
And my response to you was, I don't need to use another power outlet because the power cord is blinking green, so it is working.
Yeah, it says, it is recognizing the power cord, the light is green, and then there's a sad face, which is a sign of worry.
Yes, so what I actually should have done is, it's showing that it's green, but let me try your suggestion. That is one thing I did learn from.
Did you try it?
No, but apparently when the Mac store tried it worked just fine. I still will never figure it out though, because I was on support with them and they were telling me to plug it, unplug it. I did all those things, but you know what? We're just going to leave it in that abyss.
See, I can't do that. If something ends up being just fine, I have to figure out why something happened. That's my problem.
I know you do, and I was really hoping you could figure out why something was happening to my computer so I could sleep that night, but no appeasement there. So back to our topic, actually, instead of talking all about me, which is my favorite thing to do.
Of course.
Is that this whole endless cycle that gets created is never ending, constantly escalating. It is vicious. That's why I call it the hamster wheel. You're on it and you're just running. You're not getting anywhere. There's nothing to break it. The only thing that can break that cycle is truly in that moment is you talking yourself off the ledge. So one of my strategies that I was referring to earlier that I do, and I tried to do it Sunday night, but I tried to talk to myself and myself wouldn't listen. Like I wouldn't listen to you. I also wouldn't listen to me. And what I mean by that is I typically stop myself in the moment. You know, I'm a big fan of the pause button. So when I can feel that lurking, like coming from the stomach up into the heart palpitations, going to the head, dry mouth, freaking out. Anybody familiar with that? Surely not. I know it's only me. I stop myself in that moment. And I say, okay, hold on. Yes, this is a concern. Let's think it through. What is the absolute worst case scenario? Now, some people might say, don't do the worst case scenario. That's going to freak you out worse. I say, do the worst case scenario because A.
Prepare yourself.
Well, if you think through what is the absolute worst thing that could happen, which in my case was, to your point, I would have to either pay for repairs, buy a new computer, and put lab charges on my credit card. Those were the worst case scenarios that I could think of in that immediate moment.
Right.
Now, would there have been ramifications after that? Yes, but let's just stay with the immediate ones. And so once you can think yourself through the worst case scenario, then you can spend that time instead of having all that angst and physical anxiety, you can spend that time strategizing how to deal with the worst case scenario.
Let me stop you there. In this case, worst case scenario, I'm going to need to get a new laptop. Now, I can accept that I might need to get a new laptop. Let's figure out this worst case scenario and think about, let's see, how from where will I bring the funds? And you're starting to strategize, but aren't you, whether you're worrying for nothing, are you strategizing for nothing? Because in your case, all you had to do is maybe change the outlet. So are we wasting time in strategizing?
Right. So I didn't know that at the time. And I use this in really any case scenario. So like if I'm, this happened, a lot of things happened to lead up to a topic. This happened. Right before the other stuff happened, my car, the oil light came on. Uh-huh. And I've always been told, if the oil light ever comes on, like pull over and don't drive your car any further.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
I was running late to an appointment that I was going to be there on time if I had not gotten the oil light, just duly noted.
Wait. If I know my wife is listening right now, that's why you leave 15 minutes early in case there's an accident, in case the oil light goes on. Go ahead. I just needed to get that
out. Okay, Dad. All right. So So it just so happens the oil light comes on. It's pouring rain. I mean, pouring. And I know this because I got to wear my rain boots and my really cute new raincoat. And I looked adorable. However, it was pouring rain and my oil light came on and I had 10 minutes to get to my appointment. So I just happened, thank the divine divineness above.
Yes, yes.
I was right in front of a Firestone store. Hello. So I pull in and I tell them what's going on in my very female frenzy, my car, something's wrong with it sort of way.
And there was a bullseye target on your head.
And I have to say, too, that I was actually more mortified about that type of behavior because I was talking to another female who worked at Firestone who was smart, savvy, and obviously not intimidated by anything car related. Okay. She just whipped up the hood and checked the oil and told me, actually, I had too much oil that my car was not blowing up. And she didn't tell me my car wasn't blowing up. I specifically said, so does that mean my car is not going to blow up? And she said, yes. So I had nothing more to worry about. So I offered to see if I needed to pay her. She very generously said no. And I got back in the car.
You had a good day. You had a good week.
Oh, well, yes, but I worried in advance of all of this happening. That's my point.
I gotcha.
So enough about just your average day of the mill worrying. There are some other types of worrying that you may not have considered into this category, which I feel is my dire responsibility to bring forth for awareness. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Worrying can also pertain to wanting to be perceived by the world as we wish. Now, this one I never really think about, but if you do distill it down, it's all about our desire to see ourselves as we want to be seen. So we get heavily invested in projecting or maintaining this certain image or persona to others, and we're ever watchful of like the glitch in the armor or being guarded around a particular person because they may see us for who we really are.
Right.
Give
a simple example of the perception thing.
Okay, well, the first one that comes to my mind is going to be about materialism because I think it might be one of the
That's
most
a good
common.
One.
And that is when you see the brand new like black Suburban with the stroller that's like state of the art with the set of twins and the Louis Vuitton diaper bag and the perfect figure with the perfect hair. And you look at this person from the outside looking in and you go, dang, she has like got it all. She's beautiful. She's fit. She's got a new car. She's got twins. Boy, girl, of course, because that's how it rolls.
Okay, now well, you're telling us something about yourself here, because when I see that Suburban or Range Rover or whatever it is, I see, wow, is she insecure? Can she even appreciate the performance that vehicle can offer, or is she just driving it because it has that badge on it? Wow.
It's all about the checklist, right?
Right.
When I see it, I don't see it as me being envious of it, just so we're clear. But yes, it does say something about me. And what it says about me is that I can pick it up that may or may not be, she may genuinely love black Suburbans, she may genuinely believe that a Louis Vuitton diaper bag is better than the one that you can get at Target. She may generally believe all those things. I love to give people the benefit of the doubt. The opposite side of that I could see is that she's extremely worried because when she drives into her neighborhood, she needs to make sure that all of her neighbors perceive her as one of, a part of, and she's probably her and if she has a spouse are probably maxed to the grid on credit cards and way extending beyond their means.
Or on the verge of bankruptcy.
Right. Just so they could support this illusion of we have it all together, but then they really don't. And so that creates this constant sense of stress and anxiety of having to keep up the facade. And, you know, it's not just about the outside looking in materialism thing. Another example I can give you, because I really actually prefer to give examples that I've actually lived, because that scenario is not one that I've ever lived. And perhaps maybe I might have a little jealousy because I never was the soccer mom with the twin boy girl, great diaper bag and stroller, state of the art. Maybe I wish that had been my right instead of my left. But my left experience in terms of where my life turned out and how I can relate to this is what is often is often referred to as the imposter syndrome.
All right, you're gonna hold on to that imposter syndrome thing, because I'm worried right now we're gonna run into overtime with the show. we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, are we gonna have time for Tracy's takeaways and the imposter syndrome? Is that what it was?
You know, I think we will. Okay. I do think we will. Awesome. I'll make sure we do.
All right, it's right after this.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to there.
We're back, and by now, hopefully, you have learned to stop worrying so much and use that extra time to enjoy a little life. Tracy, I want to hear about this imposter syndrome thingy.
Because I was just starting to explain that I wanted to share my experience when you asked for an example of alternate types of worry. I shared one that wasn't my story, and now I want to share one that is. And that is this whole imposter syndrome. So in my opinion, this might be one of the most ridiculous forms of worrying that one can have and experience. However, it has happened to me in my life so many times. And one example is when I was promoted from one management position to another management position at a fairly young age in a male dominant broadcasting business.
Uh-huh.
My first, literally, instead of being so excited of what I had achieved and what I had accomplished and where this position could take me professionally, my first worry was, I'm the Peter principal. They've just elevated me to the place where I cannot succeed anymore. This is it for me. I'm a fake, a fraud, a phony. And that carried over. And by the way, none of that was true. And so then when I started my own business, every single time for the first, okay, I've been self-employed now 12 years. For the first 11 and a half years, every time I would get a new client, I would get this lurch in my stomach and be like, this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one where they figure out I'm not for real. I really can't do this.
11 years really wasn't enough, for you.
Yeah, it's not good enough. And every single time that I prove myself wrong, and I really try not to do that anymore. I do think a dose of healthy fear around being responsible to your client and delivering on what you commit to is important, but not to the degree that you think you're a total, like I said, fraud, fake, and a phony.
So, well, what do you think the root of this lack of self-esteem is?
I wouldn't call it a lack of self-esteem. However, you're probably correct. I think it just comes from a fear of being criticized or judged, or in my case specifically, letting someone down that trusted and believed in me, because I am such an overachiever and I'm a recovering people pleaser. However, we're talking about a lot of years of my career that I've spent overachieving and people pleasing. So that's not something you undo.
Were you letting people down in the beginning?
Never.
No.
I never have.
I know you have.
Never intentionally. But that's why it's so senseless. That's the whole ridiculous element of it. Which leads us to our takeaways. Because I can't just leave you hanging, telling you why you worry so much from evolution on to who you are today. I have to give you some tools, some really actionable tools that you can take away with you.
I'm gonna need these.
Yeah, I'd like it if you would take notes, please.
Taking notes.
I already talked about, going out to the worst case scenario and backing right into it from there. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. One is about taking measurements. So if you're really afraid, like we were talking about, like you have to get your kids to college in X amount of years, or you have to fit into this dress in X amount of months. The whole idea around being able to absolve some of that uncertainty and that worry is to just start taking measurements in like a day-to-day basis. So instead of worrying about how you're going to fit into the dress, worry about eating healthy in this one moment today. Instead of worrying about how you're going to pay for your kids' college, figure out a plan to save, even if it's $50 today. And so there's a really fun name for this strategy, and it's called paperclip strategy. And it grew out of a stockbroker who was 23. They didn't think he had a chance to succeed. And every day he put 120 paperclips in one jar and had an empty jar. And he knew he had to make 120 sales calls that day in order to get to his numbers that he wanted to get to. So every time he made a call, he put a paperclip in the other jar. And when he got through 120, he had done the best that he could for that day. So
I like it.
You could use the paperclip strategy.
Yeah, I agree. All right, here's mine because I just Googled quotes about worrying, and this was the one that stood out in my favorite one. You ready?
Ready.
Here's for your t-shirt. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Think about that. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Along with Trixie DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we want to hear your comments on this show right now. Go ahead. I'll wait. Log on to JourneyToThere.com. Also, be sure to tell all your friends and associates about the show. We're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Empower Radio, and we want you to join us for the next inspiring episode at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is Journey to There, the radio show. Tracy, I just noticed you have no worry lines. You have no worry lines.
Yeah, well, that's a tip for another show.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit JourneyToThere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's JourneyToThere.com.